Not far from Philadelphia, along the mainline railroad, is an enchanting garden called Chanticleer. It spans nearly 40 acres. Thousands of people from around the world visit each year, especially on holidays like today, Father's Day. Adrian Higgins wrote a book about it called Chanticleer, A Pleasure Garden.
The directives of the gardeners, spoken and implicit, that underlie the essence of Chanticleer. Be brilliant, be inventive, and do something fresh each year.
As a garden writer for The Washington Post, born in Ireland, raised in England, Adrian Higgins has seen some of the world's best gardens, including Prince Charles' private garden. At Chanticleer in Pennsylvania, he says Americans have an opportunity to visit a garden on that level.
If you want to get back to a garden at its purest and highest level, this is what Chanticleer is.
The Chanticleer estate was created as a mainline retreat by the pharmaceutical magnate Adolf Rosengarten Sr. in 1906. It was the family's escape then, it's yours now. Rosengarten's son, Adolf Jr., expanded it, inspired by the manor house he'd seen while stationed at Bletchley Park in England during World War II. His vision, and the endowment that went with it, was to create a garden for all to share.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Everybody have your radio faces on?
Every garden needs its gardenelles. Chanticleers gather weekly with Executive Director Bill Thomas. They're going around the table reporting on the work for the week.
Doug Croft, I'm responsible for the vegetable garden, the cut flower garden, and the long border.
Joe Henderson, the horticulturalist. I take care of the ponds, gardens, and the Lower Creek garden.
My name's Lucy Dinsmore, and I'll be in the ruin this week and working in Cyclops Creek on Wednesday.
That's right, Cyclops Creek, the ruin. It's like you're walking through Homer's Odyssey. So get your boots on this rainy day and come with us. We're starting near the entrance of the Teacup Garden. The teacup refers to an old stone fountain. Bill Thomas and Adrian Higgins are our guides.
The fountain was originally over at the Chanticleer House, which is the next house that we'll come to. And it was in a lawn area there, and it got a little bit lost in this big lawn. And so by bringing it over to this space in the entrance area, it's in a more intimate space, and the fountain seems to be right in scale.
And also the courtyard causes the sound of the water to be amplified, and it gives a very sort of cooling effect in summer, doesn't it, Bill?
Definitely.
And I love the whole sense we're getting, Adrian and Bill, of being in a banana forest. I mean, I'm 5 feet. These are well taller than I, and it's just enchanting, really. And I always think, I love the name Teacup Garden because, I'm sorry, I'm looking around for the Hatter, the Dormouse, and Alice, you know? I mean, why not? Why wouldn't I look for them, right? Banana plants ring the fountain, but even more charmingly, really huge ones resemble Doric columns against a stucco house. Nearby is a breathtaking vista. Bill Thomas leads us to the overlook.
Standing on the hill at the Chanticleer House, looking down on what we call the Great Lawn, you can see why the Rosengartens fell in love with the site and decided to move here, to build their house here. And many of the mainline houses, many of the estate houses in this area were built on the top of the hill for the good views, which most people want.
A big purple copper beech tree in the distance anchors the scene. I saw kids rolling down this hill on an earlier sunny visit. And there's texture. Let's take a walk in the gravel garden.
And do you smell the thyme?
Oh, my word, that's amazing.
It's a sign of the inventiveness here at Chanticleer that it replaced the former rose garden with a gravel garden. It's the hottest, driest site on the place, a rocky hillside.
And we have things like, lavender, the thyme, the amsonia. We have the steeper grass. We have the yuccas. What's amazing in bloom at the moment is this purple mallow poppy. What's it called?
Cup flower.
Works beautifully with the orange asclepias.
But a visitor needn't worry about names. Plants aren't labeled at Chanticleer. It's entertainment. There's what I call the Tim Burton area, the ruin. It uses an old foundation to create a charming, roofless stone mansion.
It's macabre, but in a very sort of entertaining and eye-winking sort of way. There's a table there that sort of, I think it has a sheen of water on it, and it looks a bit like a sarcophagus, It is rather grim and sort of beautifully dark.
And a garden actually is about life and death. A plant lives, it dies, it becomes compost and fertilizes the next crop of plants. the house, in this case, gave up its life so the garden could live. The sarcophagus table, it could be a dining table, symbolic of life. It could be a sarcophagus, symbolic of death.
And you can actually take your hand and play in this water. And I saw children doing exactly that.
And it's especially good if you splash your brother or your sister while you're here, or your parents.
Nature calls in many ways at Chanticleer. At the farthest edge of the property, the Asian woods, a cooling combination of bamboo forest and stream, was missing just one thing that visitors always inquire about, the restroom.
Since this is Asian woods, I felt that we wanted something inspired by Asia. And so we actually sent two of our staff members to Japan for a week, and they studied architecture and gardens. I did not want them to study the toilets of Japan, but they, and then they came back and helped us design the structure, which looks very much like a Japanese tea house.
Privately, they call it the Japanese pea house. You get it. It's made of cypress, and it's gorgeous. Then we encounter a rippling pond.
When Chanticleer became this great garden, it sort of looked lonely at the bottom of this hill, so the solution, I think quite clever, was to build a series of terraced ponds above it so that you then have this sort of coherent necklace of water that is surrounded by these incredible herbaceous beds.
There are six ponds at Chanticleer now, and pink and white water lilies span their surfaces like floating polka dots. Adrian Higgins says it's drama, it's ballet, it's plants on their stage.
It is the alliance of science and art, the science of raising hundreds, thousands of different plants and giving them each their own need. And then there's the art of assembling them in a way that is visually and sensuously beautiful. There are very few places that do it very well, and Chanticleer is one of them.
Find out for yourself on rainy days when things look especially good. Chanticleer is open Wednesdays through Sundays, April through October, and you can see pictures of it on our website, npr.org. Our visit to Chanticleer was produced by Lauren Silverman.
A moist and lovely day.
Very moist. Let's get something to eat. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.